There are about a million ways to go about ministry. So, just to add to the confusion, let me add my philosophy. Trigger warning, this is Caffeinated Christianity. So, I may or may not have told a lie on the last episode because this is not actually about the book of John. So I apologize. I'll have to, I guess, sacrifice a lamb for that one. I thought I was going to do one about John, but this ended up kind of striking my fancy more so than that did. But it's okay. We're going to cover it. Have no fear, for Caffeinated Christianity is here. Welcome to the next episode of Caffeinated Christianity, where the coffee is black and the opinions, once again, are unqualified. Tonight, well, I say tonight because I'm recording this in the evening, but on this episode, you may think I'm a little more unqualified than you previously thought, but that's okay. Hang in there. Got some good stuff for you. Coffee, son of a gun. It's two episodes in a row that I've said something completely ridiculous. Coffee I'm currently drinking is the Starbucks Pike Place. I guess they call that their medium roast. And of course, I'm drinking it black, because if you don't drink it black, then you're not a cowboy. So, looks like I'm a cowboy. Shout out Clint Eastwood. What are we going to be talking about today? Today, we are going to be talking about drinking the rain. And I'm sure that makes no sense. And it won't for a few minutes. Let me give you a quick disclaimer. Two things you're going to notice. One you've already noticed. My vocals are a little echoey. That's because I'm currently in a classroom in one of the big academic buildings at my school. And it is just me in here, and it's drywall and ceiling tiles, so it echoes. To piggyback off of that point, you may hear murmurs in the background, the slamming of doors, sorority girls saying things very loudly in the stairwell, for which I apologize, but I do not have a professional studio yet because I'm not professional yet. So this is the best environment that we currently have. So let's go ahead and get to our verse for the episode. Psalm 11:7 says, God is righteous. He loves righteous deeds, and the upright shall behold his face. So what I'm going to do on this episode is give you my unofficial view and unofficial philosophy on doing ministry. Nothing I'm going to say is very revolutionary. And to be fair, the three key words that I've picked, I actually stole from another podcast, but I put a completely different take on these three words. I just liked how alliterative they were, so I kind of stole their idea. But it's okay. I'm not plagiarizing, I promise. So to dive into this, ultimately, what's this about? It's about the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Acts 1:8. You know, God commands us as Christians to take the good news we have of Jesus dying on the cross once and for all for sins and share that to everybody we can for as long as we can while we're here on earth. That's how we're asked to spend our time on earth as Christians. And obviously that's necessary for a few reasons. One, it's necessary because it's required of us. Matthew 28, like I just said, Acts 1, plenty of other places in the Bible, one of which I'll get to in a few minutes. Another necessity of sharing the Great Commission is that there are lost people who need saving, and there are lost people who need hope. And if you have it, why would you not share it? Another necessity of the Great Commission is the fact that God desires a relationship with each and every person in existence. That's how he designed humanity, was to be in perfect harmony with him. And that's been broken because of sin. And so no one is going to understand the issue. No one's going to understand their sin problem without the explanation of the gospel. And what is the explanation of the gospel? None other than the Great Commission. My burden coming into school this year was to try and get the gospel to campus here for a few reasons. One, because it didn't seem like anyone else was doing it. Two, why not? Three, this summer, I became really, really cognizant of people I cared about and their faith. Something just kind of clicked with me this summer, and I started to focus more on the people I cared about and whether or not they were going to heaven with me one day. And the fact that some of them were not, or at least some of them perceived to not be right with God, bothered me. And so that burden to share with them carried over into my sophomore year of college. And so here we are, which is one of the reasons why I have a blog and one of the reasons why I'm starting this podcast and all sorts of other things. But my burdens are for lost people. And to be more specific, my burdens are actually for people who don't think they're lost, but they really are. What I would like to call nominal Christianity, which means Christian in name only, which means you would claim to be a Christian, but there's really no evidence to suggest that you are one. So that's where my burden is at. And so that's why I've really been kind of on the ball trying to do my part. And I've not done a very good job, but I'm working on it. And why I've really got a passion for doing things such as this and trying to get ministry out there and trying to get ministry experience. Because A, I'm going to be behind the pulpit one day, so I'll be doing this full time. And B, there are lost people. And there are lost people that I love personally. And I don't want to see them falter. And I want them to be with me one day. And so my burden is to share that with them. That being the gospel. So let me dive into my personal ministry model. I call this the RAIN model. And that will make more sense in a few minutes. But it's predicated on three major words: character, conviction, and competence. Let's start with character. So character is just as it seems, your character, which I have broken up into verbal and nonverbal. So your verbal character is pretty self-explanatory. It's the way you talk. It's the way you treat other people. It's the way you act socially. It's the way you act in certain situations. It's the things you choose to do and the things you choose to do with, for, around, in spite of, in light of other people. It's the way you carry yourself. It is a very easy thing to see. You know, a negative example of this would be, well, I'm not going to give a negative example. I would hate to put someone on blast in my podcast, but you get the idea, right? Your verbal character, or I could call it your physical character, is how do you look to the world? How are you carrying yourself? Most importantly, how do you talk? There's a huge rash of the Christian community that feels like the things they say is not important. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. You know, just to quote a verse real quick. Okay, James 3:1. Out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. Brothers, this ought not be so. I can also think of Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is profitable for building each other up. The way we talk as Christians is important. That's just a little soapbox I'm on. Let me hop back off. So you've got your character, you've got your verbal character, and your nonverbal character. Mostly when I think of this, I'm really personally harping on social media. Contrary to popular belief, what you follow, look at, retweet, favorite, quote tweet, post, whatever, is a direct reflection of who you are as a person. You can try to argue with me on that, and if you'd like to debate that, I'm down for it, but I firmly 100% stand on the fact that who you are on the internet is who you are deep inside. Because on the internet, you don't have to look anyone in the eyes to do the things that you do. And so we tend to, I need to say we because I'm super guilty of this. We need to be very cognizant of how we present ourselves on the internet. And another way, you know, another aspect of your nonverbal character is, what do you listen to? What kind of music do you listen to? You know, what kind of brands do you promote? You know, what kind of, feedback do you really give off? I mean, do you look very disinterested? You know, it's a lot of things, you know, but it comes down to your character, right? When it comes to ministry, your character is important. How you look to the world, how you treat the world, how you view the world, and ultimately how you respond to the world is very important, because with character comes accountability, and good character creates good accountability. Good character creates good credibility. With terrible character, you create terrible credibility and terrible accountability. And so when you go to try and share the gospel with someone or simply try and give some type of Christian insight and you don't have anything to back it up, well then, what good does that do? Does none. If you're a Clemson fan, why would you try to convince me to pull for Georgia? Why would you? Yeah, you should pull for Georgia. I mean, I'm a Clemson fan, but you should pull for Georgia. Hey, you should subscribe to this Christianity Jesus thing. I mean, I don't subscribe to it myself. I do whatever I want to on the weekends and, you know, just completely live a sinful lifestyle, but you should subscribe to this. It doesn't work like that. Character, verbal, nonverbal. The second C of my ministry model is conviction. I've got this broken up into two parts also. First off, with conviction, you must have it. And that means a few things. You must be convicted of your sin. If you knowingly sin, you ought to feel that you knowingly sin. You know, there was a time in my life where there were a lot of things I did not realize I was doing them, and they were bad. And there are still several things I do now that I kind of do unbeknownst to myself, and I catch myself later and realize, wow, should not have done that. But for the most part, I'm starting to get to a point in my walk, something that I've been praying about, something the Lord has done for me, is I start to really feel my iniquity when I'm in the process of dwelling in it. With conviction, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, and if you're going to expect to share the gospel and do ministry effectively, you've got to have it. Got to have it in terms of knowing what your sin is, being cognizant of your sin, but you've also got to have it in knowing when, with whom, and where to share the gospel. There are some times when you just probably would be better off keeping your mouth shut. There are some times when there is someone that needs to hear. There are some times when you need to go and very uncomfortably approach someone that you do not know and do not want to talk to. And so it is of the utmost importance that you create in your life a very prominent conviction, because conviction leads to a lot of things. It helps you stay firm on what you believe in. It helps you understand your own sin. It helps you understand the Spirit moving, and helps you understand when, where, and with whom you need to share the gospel. I'll say again, that's the first component of conviction. The second component is to follow yours. Everyone has different convictions/burdens, and you must not ignore those. You must not ignore those simply because the church needs everybody. There are some people, you know, I mean, like I just told you at the beginning of the episode, my passion is for nominal Christians, right? I want to share with people who think they're eternally secure. Hey, you might not be. But some people want to reach lost people to foreign nations. You know, I can think of my mom. My mom has a heart for domestic missions. My little sister has a heart for those who are less fortunate. You know, I've got a friend here at school. He is passionate for those who want to come at Christianity from a philosophical and theological standpoint, right? This combination of all these people creates a very, very effective ministry group, right? I got to be honest with you. I am not passionate about sharing the gospel with the women's lacrosse team here. I don't know any of them, and that's just not my thing. I don't want to do that. Just being totally honest. Someone out there does. That's their conviction. They need to follow it. My conviction is to be Christ for my teammates here at school and to share with people who think they're eternally secure that they might not be, and to share with those that I love most the gospel. That's my conviction, so I follow it. So to recap, character, you have your verbal and your nonverbal. Conviction, you must have it and you must follow your own. The third component of my personal ministry model is competence. Bottom line, you have to know what you're talking about. Now, I'll give you this example, right? I'm an Oregon Ducks fan. Go ahead and roast me for it. Go ahead and say boo. Make fun of me. I know it's Oregon. Listen, I've been a fan for a long time. I can't jump off the wagon now. I like the Oregon Ducks. They're my boys. They're my team. If I were to say that, and then you go and ask me a few simple questions about Oregon, and I can't answer them, then what does that make me look like? It makes me look like an idiot. It makes me look completely incompetent of being an Oregon Ducks fan, because I have no information about them. What if I'm watching football and I make some ridiculous remark about a rule that's not really a rule? Or I say something about, you know, the strategy of football that's completely incorrect. What do I look like? I look like an idiot because I don't know what I'm talking about. Competence is very important. Competence is important because you're going to face a lot of questions. And competence is important because if you're going to effectively get your message across, because the gospel is a very abrasive and divisive message, you have to know what you're talking about. Let me give you two verses that speak to this point. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts regard Christ as holy, being ready and able to give a defense for the hope that you have. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Regard Christ as holy, being ready and able to give a defense for the hope that you have. It doesn't say just give a defense for the hope that you have, because your defense could be naught. be able to give a defense. And by being able to give a defense, you have to know what that defense would be. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. But the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And none are hidden, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. You must be ready and able to give a defense, and you must be ready and able to give a defense with the word of God, which is living and active, and it can cut through anything. There really are no secrets to ministry. There are secrets to the social aspects of ministry. There are perhaps secrets to some theological points of ministry. But ministry is not some Pandora's box. It is not a Rubik's Cube. It is honestly very simple. The hardest thing about ministry is going and doing. Your character is important because with character you create credibility and accountability. Your conviction is important because without it, heart in ministry is naught. You must have competence because if you're going to spout things, especially divisive and abrasive things as the gospel is, because the gospel lets you know that your sin severs your relationship with God and you can't get to heaven. But Jesus fixed that because he died on the cross one and only for your sins, lived the perfect life that you couldn't live, died the death that you deserved, and gave you the opportunity to bridge that gap through him to get back to perfection with God. It's a very abrasive message, and people don't often want to hear that. If you've got no competence in what you're talking about, then simply put, your ministry is going to be disregarded. So the title of this is called Let's Drink the Rain. And what does that mean? Why did I say that? If you know me personally, you know I don't even like rain. I think it's actually very annoying. So what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. Hebrews 6, 7, my personal favorite version of the Great Commission. And you're thinking, what does that mean? Yes, my personal favorite version of the Great Commission. For land that has drunk the rain that falls on it often and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. What does that mean? Well, let's think about this. Let's break this down. For a land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it, for a Christian who uses the blessings, the opportunities, the resources, the wherewithal that Christ has given them under his power and influence, and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it was cultivated, and takes all those things that God blesses him with and gives him the opportunity to do and gives him the knowledge of and shares it with people who have no knowledge, who have no working knowledge of Christ, who have no relationship with Christ, who have no biblical, theological, spiritual understanding of who Christ is and what he did for them on the cross, receives a blessing from God. You will be blessed by God, and not only will you be blessed by God, he will look you in the eyes and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Hebrews 9:27 says, for it is apportioned unto man once to die, and then comes judgment. When I'm looking God dead in his face at the end of my life, I want to be able to tell him that I shared the gospel with people that he asked me to share them with. I want to be able to tell him that I used the rain that fell on me. I drank it, and not only did I drink it, I used it to produce a crop useful for those who need the crop most. So that's just it. Hebrews 6:7 is my favorite version of the Great Commission because the implications there are very great. God rains on you. You should use that rain for other people because other people need the rain. But don't be so quick to use it for other people and not use it for yourself. Personal growth is the beginning of interpersonal growth because without you being solid in your faith, there's no way you could help other people be solid in your faith. Your character is important. Your conviction is important. And your competence is important. So let's take that. And let's take Hebrews 6:7. And let's drink the rain. On the next episode, to be honest with you, I'm not going to call any shot on what I'm going to talk about on the next episode because I did that last time and it made me into a sinner. So, you know what? Let's just coin flip and we'll see what happens. Your Christian rap song of the episode. Now listen to this. This is very complicated. The song title is 444 plus 333, God is Perfect, by an artist of the name Ty Brassel. Now here's a fun fact about the song. You probably thought the song title was weird. It is weird. 444 plus 333. Now get this. The word for, be it F-O-R or F-O-U-R, appears in the song 44 times. That's where you get the 444. There are 333 words in the song. I'm not playing. Look it up. It's a great song. Ty Brassel is a great artist. And his latest album that came out back in the spring of 2018 called Side A, Destined for Greatness. It's the first half of the Destined for Greatness album. The content is incredible. And to see the spiritual growth in Ty Brassel over the years, I honestly was not really a fan until Side A came out. Side B comes out next week. Really excited about where his music is going. And ultimately really excited about the spiritual growth I've seen in his life as a fan. Ty Brassel is a legit guy, and it's a legit song from a legit album. So check it out. 444 plus 333, God is Perfect by Ty Brassel. That's Brassel. So thanks for tuning in. I will reimburse you for the brain cells. Just drop your LinkedIn profile. I'll hit you up. Follow us on Twitter at Caff Christ. That's C-A-F-F Christ. We now officially own our own domain name. So you can find us at CaffChrist.com, which is just the blog page, but my mom helped me buy it, so now I actually own my own web address. So, you know, we're moving on up. Also, if you're not listening to this on Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now on Apple Podcasts. So just look up Caffeinated Christianity. There's a smart URL on the welcome page of the blog page, so you can find it there. It will redirect you to iTunes. And I'm not trying to be this guy. I don't really feel comfortable even saying this. But in order for the podcast to get exposure, I have to have ratings. And so if you would be so kind as to rate it, whatever you want to rate it, 1 star, 2 star, 5 star, no star, please give it a rating, because a rating helps me get my podcast out there, and it helps Apple Podcasts use some type of algorithm to basically see, or to basically decide where my podcast gets exposed to. So it'd be awesome if you could rate this on Apple Podcasts, just for the simple fact that it's going to help this thing get pushed or shut down if you guys all think it's terrible. So with that being said, stay humble, stay classy, love always, pray daily, hate sin, and remember, the battle, it's already won. Audi. Fifty souls.